Oh boy, we are live. Welcome everybody to Brain Stew Wrestling. Number to call 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. What's going on, everybody? My name is Hammy, and joining me in studio is none other than Michael Hipster Punchy Falcone.
Yeah.
What's going on, Mike? How are you doing?
Not much going on. I'm presently, we're watching and enjoying this, the rematch, Bray Wyatt and Harper versus Reigns and Ambrose. I feel like something big is happening. Either someone's turning heel, and which I hope it's Reigns, because I don't think they'd be dumb to turn Ambrose heel right now. He doesn't, like, Ambrose doesn't need the personality because he already has it. Reigns, kind of like his brother, kind of like his cousin, when his cousin was still a babyface and brand new, needed it. Reigns needs that.
Mike, of course, referring to the one and only The Rock. When The Rock first came in, he was known as Rocky Maivia. Typical babyface, you know, he did good moves, he had good matches, but no one was feeling him, and everyone was chanting, "Die, Rocky, die," blah, 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 "You suck," blah, 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 etc., etc. And then The Rock just turned heel, and then that's when he started getting over with the fans.
Yeah, so that's when fans started to love him, because he developed, because as a babyface, it's hard to develop a personality. And yeah, granted, the Shield started as heels, but at the same time, it was a faction, so like they kind of protected Reigns' lack of emotion or personality, because you had like Dean Ambrose, who personality-wise is a force of nature, and you had Seth Rollins, who, you know, had that kind of that swagger,
and he has a full package. Like he can go in the ring, he can cut a promo, he could do anything.
Yeah, so Reigns kind of needed that needs that personality, and the best way to do it is turning him heel.
So he can lash out and get reactions from the fans and just lash out back
exactly.
at him.
It would be the best thing to happen to Reigns. If Vince really wants to make money on Roman Reigns in the long run,
turn him heel right
now. Turn him heel. Because again, once he's heel, he'll get that personality. I think he's got it in him. I resented him because he was rushed when other guys, like, you know, Ambrose or someone else should have been there. But, they rushed him a bit there.
So, here we go. We are recapping SummerSlam to complete our SummerSlam coverage, if you even want to call it that. Everyone's calling it SummerSlam coverage. We saw the pay-per-view last night. We saw NXT. Mike was actually at NXT. He'll recap that in a second.
Damn right I was.
But first, I think we need to recap stuff that's happened right now on Raw. And breaking news: Wyatt family member happening right
is
now.
Is it Rowan or what the hell? Who? What the? What is this?
There is a third Wyatt family member that just appeared at the side of the ring. Mike, do you have any idea who this is? Because I don't.
No.
Is this someone from NXT?
I don't recognize him. Unless it's someone they've kind of sat on the had on the side.
This guy's a monster. Look at the size of it.
Well, whoever he is,
Roman
he's
Reigns,
huge.
Here we go. The man just caught Reigns.
He kind of looks familiar. Like, I think he's a guy who's on NXT who's been sitting for a while. But I can't place the name. Look at Ambrose's face. Ambrose is like, he just ragdolled Reigns. Oh!
Normally we would not be just jumping right into Raw coverage, but we knew this was coming. We knew a third Wyatt family member was appearing tonight. And here's the guy.
I'm actually like going to check now to see who it is, like on Twitter, because I don't recognize him, but I feel like I should.
I'm sure it'll be on Twitter everywhere in moments who he is. They'll have his entire backstory.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, everyone thought that that it was going to be like Leo Kruger. Braun Strowman. I mean, why does that name sound familiar? I'm sorry, guys.
Well, whoever he is, he just made Roman Reigns pass out.
Okay, he's an American strongman. Adam Scher is Braun Strowman. When did he... All right, so he signed a develop. All right, let's see. All right, so he's never actually like been on NXT TV. He's been signed by WWE since 2013. So he's like his former strongman competitor.
And Ambrose again trying. He just kicked this man in the side of his head and it didn't move him.
He looked like, holy.
And now doing the same thing to Ambrose that he just did to Roman Reigns.
This ragdoll at Dean Ambrose.
Well, this is happening right now on Monday Night Raw. Third Wyatt family member. The family's together. The family's a threesome again. Eric Rowan's out with injury, so we might as well have someone new come in.
Yeah.
And now Bray Wyatt has a new disciple with a just as epic beard as Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, so...
He really does look like Bray Wyatt if Wyatt was
on steroids.
Was an Olympic weightlifter.
Yeah.
That's who he looks like. Just as tall as Luke Hopper.
So at some point, I'm guessing this is where we're going to see Sting come out. Like, not tonight, maybe, but maybe another night.
Well, there is a rumor that WWE flew Sting from his home back to New York today.
Yeah, there's that rumor.
There's a rumor, not saying it's fact, but there is a rumor that Sting might appear, and fantasy booking that I saw online from one of the commenters on 411mania.com, I have to credit where I read this, brilliant booking if we're going to get the Sting-Undertaker match. So hear this, and then we'll get to what happened on Raw earlier tonight in the first hour. So this guy says that what if... And this is, again, what if Sting comes out, calls at the Undertaker for resulting to cheap tactics to win, saying he's lost it,
and then
challenges him. That could work. That could very well work, because Jim Ross, the good old Hall of Famer J.R. Jim Ross, his fantasy booking for Sting versus Taker, if it were to ever happen, would be, hey, I was the Phenom in WCW. You're the Phenom in WWE.
Let's do this.
Let's do this because we're both, at that point where we've done everything.
Yeah.
Let's just see who's better.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then whoever wins, they get up and walk out together, and we never see him again. And after the previous night, inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
By the way, Blue Pants is awesome. Can I just say?
All right, we'll get to NXT in a second, but first...
But we're going
to
recap Raw.
We're going to recap the first hour of Monday Night Raw, and we opened up Raw tonight with a epic promo from one Mr. Paul Heyman, and he came out obviously frustrated because his client,
oh, by the way,
Brock Lesnar, was defeated by The Undertaker in a controversial fashion last night at SummerSlam.
Yeah, that was kind of like... It was a little out of character with The Undertaker, but...
So here we go. Here is a part of Heyman's promo where he totally probably pissed off the guys behind the scenes because this promo, this section of the promo right here, was not PG. So here is what Paul Heyman said.
The video does not lie. And I understand how uncomfortable it may be for this fairy tale to end. I'm a father. I get it. It's not pleasant. Hey, kids, there is no Santa Claus. The Easter Bunny is a fable. This whole Pavlovian belief that the Undertaker is immortal or already dead or whatever nonsense he wants to spew out is a fable. And the reality is that last night, the Undertaker got tapped out by Brock Lesnar.
So there you go. That's part of what Heyman said earlier tonight, opening the show on Monday Night Raw. And again, just epic promo from Paul Heyman usual. Week in, week out, Heyman delivers the best sells of anybody on a microphone.
When I wind up, listening to Paul Heyman yeah, my God, I can't. This is going to be a Raw where I'm going to have to watch all of it when I eventually watch it streaming somewhere, isn't it? Like, that's how this is going to be. Paul Heyman is a master on the microphone. Like, anybody who does anything like that involves talking needs to watch Paul Heyman promos. Like, especially in entertainment.
Yeah, if you want to get into the wrestling business and you want to learn how to cut a promo, just watch Heyman. You'll never be able to do what Heyman does, but at least study of how he sells to the crowd. And we are covering our previous coverage of SummerSlam. We are covering NXT, and we are covering Monday Night Raw. Any big moments that happen during the show, we'll live stream it for you.
There's been three so far, and there's only been three segments. Like, there's been the promo. There's been the next thing. There's been what we already talked about, the new Wyatt family member who just annihilated.
That just happened as soon as we went on the air.
Yeah. And thank you, Raw. You're the gift that keeps on giving to this show. I feel like I'm going to be the one to mention this moment. Earlier in the show. Oh, yeah. Before I get to that, mention what else happened with Brock Lesnar in Raw.
Well, Lesnar came out and he was in a very foul mood, to say the least.
So his Brock Lesnar default mood.
Exactly. So who comes out after he calls out The Undertaker to have a fight tonight, which The Undertaker, by the way, is in Texas because he got beat up again by Lesnar.
Yeah. Who came out acting as if he were me responding to every political post Hammy puts?
None other than Bo Dallas, who says, oh, Lesnar, you have a fantasy about being The Undertaker. Well, it didn't happen. You just need to leave. And, of course, he was taken to Suplex City almost immediately. So then the first match of the night, this is all within the first hour of the show.
Yeah.
The New Day, who, by the way, is probably my new favorite tag team right now. The New Day comes out. New Day rocks. Which, by the way, big ups to Brooklyn. They are chanting New Day Rocks instead of New Day Sucks.
Yeah, they're chanting New Day Rocks now.
Which is fantastic.
Because they're a smarky heel city, New York.
And the New Day just knows how to entertain crowds. So the New Day came out, and they introduced Xavier Woods, who came out with a trombone and was starting to play a little musical instrument here and there. And we were met with this from the New Day.
Oh, good grief. Well, you know Xavier was trained by Chief J. Trombone.
We got something to say. We are your new tag champs.
Obviously, playing on to Frank Sinatra's New York, New York.
Our gear is on fleek. Unlike this filthy city, Brooklyn's booty.
Y'all booty, son, y'all booty.
But that's okay. The champs are here to stay.
So the New Day opens up their match with that very funny, very entertaining promo. And then, at the end of the match, the New Day defeats the Lucha Dragons, by the way. After the match, they're celebrating. And then we get an unexpected return. So we'll just play the audio right now, and you'll hear who returns tonight.
John wouldn't know nothing about no getting jiggy.
Man, we got jiggy all the time in Sweetwater. What the? Oh, my God, are you kidding me? No! Are you gonna be kidding me?
My sentiment's exactly cold.
Yeah.
Bubba Ray Dudley! Devo Dudley! The Dudley boys are back! The most decorated team in WWE history! The nine-time WWE Tag Team Champion!
Bring them all!
World Tag Team titles between this team, the most decorated team of all time, the Dudley Boys.
So the Dudley Boys returned to WWE. We saw Bubba Ray Dudley return in the Royal Rumble, which was great. We thought it was a one-off, one-time-only thing, but apparently not. The Dudley Boys in WWE secured a deal, and even the smarkiest of smarks online did not see this coming.
Not
this was
all.
A complete surprise to all of us, and this is why we love pro wrestling so much, Mike, because shocking moments like this happen all the time, not so much anymore because of the internet,
yeah.
But surprising moments like this happen, and thank you to WWE for bringing this back to us. We love seeing the Dudleys back on a proper wrestling program, not named TNA.
I like how SummerSlam is now their second WrestleMania, so now the day after SummerSlam is kind of like their second day after WrestleMania.
I'm not complaining.
Not at all.
I'm not complaining. SummerSlam was 4 hours. I think it's going to be 4 hours every year now. And the Monday Night Raw after SummerSlam is I think, going to be the next Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. Because so far, the first hour, absolutely amazing.
By the way, we're down with PCB. Yeah, you know me.
And so far, in hour two right now on Monday Night Raw, we had a surprise third Wyatt family member. Yep. And now we are featuring the Divas on Ms. Piper's TV. Pit, a.k.a. Ms. TV.
Yeah. Let's diet Piper's Pit.
Yeah, diet Piper's
Pit.
Let's
face it. It'll never reach this. I don't even think Miz expects it to ever reach the level that Piper's Pit had.
So
Becky Lynch.
Let's find out what they're talking about now. Monday Night Raw.
Did, and not only did I live up to his legacy, I surpassed it.
Woo! Oh, talking about Ric Flair.
But this isn't about me. This is about you guys and. It can't be all girl power this and sisterhood of the traveling pants that. There's got to be some competition between you three.
Okay, Mizzy, I couldn't be here. We couldn't be here without the other two, okay, sweetheart?
Mizzy is trying to play Divide and Conquer.
Three beautiful women that all get along. A rarity!
Oh, that's really sweet, Mizzy. We're really flattered, but we're just not that into you. And we are more than just looks, you little pervert.
That was a dig probably at all of her Instagram followers, because if you follow Paige on Instagram, she posts some very not intimate photos, but she posts... Let's just say she doesn't leave that much to the imagination, and there's just nothing but perverted comments on her Instagram posts. So, you know what? I would hope if Paige ever turns heel, she can attack the nerdy IWC members who just gawk at her on Instagram. Me not being one of them, of course, but that's besides the point.
No, not at all, right, Hammy? You're not one of them at all.
No, not at all. Not
fucking
at all.
Hypocrite. No. You're just going to attack all of them. That doesn't include me. Ha-ha. Then Hammy goes right to her Instagram account, and he starts to white-knuckle the keyboard. Fucking creep.
All right, so now the Bella Twins are coming out.
The Team Bella comes out to ruin the segment.
I think we could just skip this segment right here. So let's get right into it. SummerSlam 2015, the match too big for WrestleMania, Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, the rematch of the century as advertised by WWE. Thoughts? Because I think, just in layman's terms, we can get into more details about this. Their match at WrestleMania 30, not good. The ending of their match at WrestleMania 30, excellent.
Yeah.
Their match at SummerSlam,
much better.
Excellent. The ending
horrible.
The absolute worst ending to potentially any match that I've ever seen. It was horrible.
No, there's a worse ending. And your new WCW champion, David Arquette.
Very good point. I'll concede to that. But as far as WWE pay-per-views go, as one of the most advertised pay-per-views of all time, because us living in the New York area, we saw posters for this everywhere. SummerSlam is invading Brooklyn, especially in New York City where I work. Nothing but SummerSlam posters everywhere. This was the most hyped rematch that I think I've seen in WWE in a very, very long time. And the match delivered. Both men left it all in the ring. But the ending
was atrocious.
The ending saw The Undertaker tapping out to the Gamora lock, just to distract the referee, deliver a low blow to Lesnar, and then make him pass out in his Hell's Gate submission. Granted, Lesnar sold it great by flipping off the Undertaker before passing out, but still, horrible ending. And now, not to get too ranty here, but Mike is a self-admitted Cesaro fanboyish mark. Would it be fair to say that you support Cesaro a lot more than anyone else?
Well, there's other people that also support him as much as I do. It's a running thing. Myself and Taylor, a nerd mantra of the Ring Geeks, were both this diehard Cesaro section marks.
So it'd be fair to say that Punchy right here is an admitted Cesaro mark. I am an admitted Undertaker mark.
And both our wrestlers' matches got to close out the show.
And we felt great.
That meant Cesaro had to be, and Owens had to be put in the death spot.
Yeah, before the main event, after the Divas. But while it was a very excellent match, I loved watching Taker and Lesnar go at it. I'm glad Taker wasn't injured, because 50 years old, as battered as his body is, he's very fragile. I know this. It's time for him to have one last retirement match and then call it a day. But to see that finish with the Undertaker, 25-year career, 25-year career has now culminated. Because you only remember the last couple of matches your favorite wrestler has before they retire.
Yeah.
Or their matches 10 years ago in their prime. You had The Undertaker, who's leaving WWE after this year's WrestleMania.
Well, from in-ring. I'm sure
from in-ring him, like, competition.
They'll give him some sort of job outside of WWE.
Okay, like in-ring as The Undertaker appearing on TV.
He'll be an ambassador.
Exactly. So you have The Undertaker, who has never submitted as his dead man gimmick. I believe he tapped out once to Kurt Angle when he was in his biker gimmick or whatever. But he wasn't the Phenom. He wasn't the dead man. He wasn't this awe-inspiring ghost dead man character.
Like Paul Heyman said.
And he tapped out.
You tapped out.
Undertaker was the last person you would ever expect in a WWE ring to tap out to anything. But he tapped. And you never saw Taker result to a heel-ish move such as the low blow. Even when he was a heel, both in the Ministry of Darkness and the corporate ministry, and as a biker character, you never saw him do heel things like a low blow or fake tapping to get an advantage. You never saw that from him. And you saw everything that he's never done last night. You never saw it.
Yep.
And then you result to this. I think Vince McMahon has turned The Undertaker from the legendary Phenom to no more than a cheap heel, because he played the heel in this role.
Yeah.
In this build-up in this match. He low-blowed Lesnar twice on two consecutive Monday Night Raws. He low-blowed Lesnar in the match. He fake tapped and he got the steal. I get why WWE did this, so no one can really clearly defeat the other, and they wanted to keep Lesnar strong, but they wanted to give Taker the win. Just how about this, WWE? Just let him win. Us as fans, we can say, oh, well, as long as it's a good match and both of them sell, we don't really care who wins. We just want to be entertained.
Are you not entertained?
It was built up so Taker, the build-up made sense for Taker to win. Because Taker is the only person, the only time he's ever been the underdog in any of his rivalries throughout his career is against Brock Lesnar. Because Lesnar is the only person who has ever consistently beat him one-on-one. He's the one.
Yeah.
In Taker's streak.
In 22-1.
Or how about this? If Lesnar were to defeat Undertaker last night, how about Taker just come out, finally admit that there's someone better than him, put over Lesnar, and say, you're the better one? He did that as his biker character after their Hell in a Cell match in 2002.
Yeah.
But that's when he was his biker character, not the Phenom character. He almost never speaks anymore as his dead man character.
No, not anymore.
I don't know. I kind of ranted a little bit here, Mike. What did you think of the of the match last night, the main event.
It was going so well too. So many, and then just that dog shit finish. That's the one word to really. It was a horrible finish. Like, it doesn't make sense. The timekeeper doesn't just watch it and ring the bell. Hey, he's tapping out. No, they don't. They've never done that. How many times have we seen a match where someone's tapping out, but the ref doesn't see it? Nobody, the bell guy has never rung the bell. Never. So why suddenly, after decades of this never happening because it's not part of their job, does he suddenly say, hey, this guy's tapping out, just so you know?
It doesn't make sense.
It's like the Chewbacca defense. Chewbacca is a Wookiee, but he lives on Endor with a bunch of Ewoks. Now, what would a Wookiee be doing living on Endor with a bunch of Ewoks? This does not make sense. This match does not make sense.
Oh, the match made sense. The booking made sense. But that finish, the way they booked that finish does not make sense.
The booking does not make sense. Look at the monkey. Look at the monkey.
You know what it is? It just screams bad Vince McMahon booking.
Yeah.
This was just another McMahon screw job-like booking job.
Yep.
And it's so catastrophically bad, that finish last night, because other than that, it was an amazing match. Taker didn't even finish his entrance. No one interrupts Taker's entrance, okay? And Lesnar just said, all right, I'm not going to wait for you to roll your eyes back, take off your hat, and take your coat off. Yeah. I'm going after you. Lesnar took it to Taker. Taker took it to Lesnar. And I'm not going to lie, I think we all genuinely marked out when Lesnar sat up and laughed, and then Taker sat up and went, ha, 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 attacked to him.
With his hair, he looked like Chucky laughing.
It was very creepy, very scary, and very awesome. That was awesome. That was fantastic. Genuine markout moment in that match.
Can I do a Raw sidebar for a second?
Sure.
During that Miz TV segment that was just on, Becky Lynch's expressions are fantastic. Like the weird, like the facial mannerism she was making while Miz was talking, while goofy Alicia Fox was talking.
It's every look I ever got from a girl in high school growing up.
Like,
it's every look I ever received, so she sold it perfectly.
Like, when it comes to the divas, I'm going to say I'm a huge Becky Lynch mark.
I would say as far as in-ring competition, I'm on Team Charlotte all the way. But as far as, like...
In-ring? No, she's not better than... She's not even... She's a third... In-ring, she's the third best on PCB. She's one of the better divas, but she's third best on PCB.
I have a thing for Charlotte as far as in-ring competition. I'm a fan of hers. I like her matches, but that's besides point.
Well, look at who she... Like, her matches were in NXT were as great as they were, but look what the one constant in the best NXT women's matches were. Sasha Banks.
Oh, of course.
Like Charlotte's good. She's not nowhere near being the best one in the division.
Well, let me clarify this. I personally do not believe Charlotte's the best. She's just my favorite as far as in-ring competition. Okay.
You know, what's awkward, though, is her doing the knife-edge chops, because knife-edge chopping boobs is, like, more awkward than knife-edge chopping pecs. So she's got to do them, like, high, where she's knife-edge chopping the collarbone.
Too high, and that's a very painful situation.
Yeah. So, like, that has to hurt, like, in a way, and yeah, in real life, that has to hurt worse than her dad's. Because at least her dad, he does it like on the pec where like it absorbs a little more. No, the diva's got to take it on the collarbone. But anyway, back to SummerSlam.
So recapping SummerSlam here last night, we discussed Undertaker, Lesnar. What do you see going from this? Do you think they do a Lesnar-Taker 3? Because that's what it built up
to. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to.
I'm pretty sure they're going to have one more Lesnar-Taker match where I think Taker will finally get the clean pin over Lesnar. Or maybe Taker's old school in that mindset, not to go break kayfabe here, but Mark Calloway's very old school in a sense where he believes that of putting over talent.
Yeah.
So Lesnar could finally be the one person where he says, okay, I don't ever want to beat him cleanly.
Yeah.
Could be that.
Could be.
But I think we're going to see Lesnar Taker 3, and then Taker's going to close out his career against Sting.
Yeah. I could see that. Definitely. Now, we'll go in reverse order here. Cesaro Owens.
That was actually the next match I was going to bring up because...
The best
What we
wrestling.
Predicted on the show last week, we predicted on this show that we were going to say watch out for Cesaro Owens. That will be your match of the night. And I don't know about you, Mike, but if they had five more minutes, that we would have had our match of the night.
If they had the time they had, but they were put as the first match, it would have been match of the year contender. Like, that crowd was exhausted.
I mean, you can't really blame the crowd for being excited.
It was a four-hour pay-per-view.
Four-hour event, and this was 9 out of 10 matches that they're sitting through now.
Yeah. They were put in the death spot. I think that either they put them there to relegate those two to the death spot, or they put them there figuring, let's put a match that's strong there to kind of have a little momentum going into. Because they got reactions from the crowd. It's just, I felt like if they were earlier in the show, it would have been a much bigger reaction. Like, the crowd was just, they were tired. They were saving energy for the last match. But the wrestling was spectacular.
Oh, the match itself, ignoring the crowd, what was fantastic. Cesaro and Owens tore the house down.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, less than 24 hours prior to that match,
Kevin Owens was in a brutal
ladder match in NXT.
And he took, in that ladder match, he took all of the big bumps.
Yeah, Balor didn't take that many huge bumps. He took some painful bumps, but he didn't take the massive big bumps.
Owens absorbed all of the ladder bumps.
Owens put his body through hell the night before, and he came out and wrestled a great match with Cesaro.
Yeah.
So the MVP of the weekend is probably Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
As far as person who put in the most work this past weekend.
I kind of want to see where do they go with both guys? Do they continue this feud, which I kind of hope? Let those two exchange wins for a few months?
I'm kind of upset, though. I mean, I feel sad. I feel bad for Tyson Kidd, but Tyson Kidd's injury just gives Cesaro the most golden opportunity ever to be pushed as a singles competitor.
If they give Owens and Cesaro a few months to feud, that's going to be their best feud. It had the best build of SummerSlam.
Best matches in a feud. I don't think they'll have the best promos. We're talking...
They had the best build of SummerSlam.
They had one of the best builds.
No. Best build. Because the thing with the Taker-Lesnar build, Heyman did all of the heavy lifting. And he did all of it. Brock Lesnar was there. He was there. Taker showed up a couple of the weeks.
Taker showed up for two Raws.
Yeah. Which is a record for him.
I'll agree. Cesaro and Owens were there every week to build up.
Yeah. And consistently the best build.
So, I you know what? Yeah, I'll agree with you on this. Yeah. The Cesaro Owens has the potential to be feud of the year for WWE if they build it right.
Best feud not involving Ambrose and Rollins feuding with each other. Because those two, Ambrose Rollins will be this new generation's Orton Cena. Or Austin the Rock.
Yeah, throughout the years, they'll just clash a few times throughout the years of their career. So, So Cesaro Owens, again, I say, give him five more minutes. They would have had match of the night. Absolutely.
They went balls to the wall for the first few minutes, too, with spots. It was a brawl. There were some high-flying spots. There was technical spots.
Do we want to review every SummerSlam match, or do we want to go over the highly profiled matches?
We'll skip certain ones. We'll kind of gloss over a few of them.
So the match prior to, again, going in reverse order, was the Divas three-way tag team match.
I felt like it was there. I feel bad for the talented ones in that match, because they had to carry the Bella Twins and Alicia Fox.
Oh my God, the ending of that match, Brie Bella on the top screaming Brie mode, and then hitting nothing but air.
Yeah.
Nothing but air.
I can't wait.
Botchamania is going to run wild with that.
Botchamania is running wild, brother.
Botchamania, man. That as soon as I saw, I'm like, oh, that's definitely going to be in Botchamania.
I wanted to give more time to the Divas match, talking about it, but I really don't see a need to. It was... the way it was booked, kind of just, the ones who were talented shined, but the problem with this storyline is that the Bellas are involved, Alicia Fox, and they're just horrible. So they're not
Team Bella was the weak links of that match last night.
The Bellas, Alicia Fox, Naomi, Tamina, because of them, all the talented women in that feud have to wrestle down to their competition, to them, so that they can actually have a cohesive match. Like, and you, well, you know the talent that's there because they've been showcased on NXT before. Like, you know there's talent there, but they've got to be just slogged down with lesser talent that's also involved in the feud. So we're going to skip that one and go to the next one.
Match prior to that was what I think. We knew Taker Lesnar was going to main event the show, but I honestly thought, Cena versus Rollins.
This should have main evented.
This should have main evented.
Imagine closing the pay-per-view out with Rollins holding both titles.
Just that moment alone. And there, you know, not to get too picky about history, but Goldberg had the world title and U.S. title at the same time back in WCW.
No. They're talking about WWE title.
Yeah. So
no one's ever held.
But there are a lot of people saying that someone's had the world.
No one's ever held the WWE title.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. No one's ever had the WWE Heavyweight Championship and the U.S. title.
Yeah.
Except Rollins.
There have been people who've had the world title and the WCW/World Heavyweight title and the U.S. title. Booker T mentioned it on the pre-show. It's not like the same world champion. They were saying WWE World Champion. So people need to listen better, is what I'm saying.
But Rollins comes out looking like Tommy the Green White Ranger from Power Rangers in his ring gear.
Hey,
John Cena comes out, and they tear the house down. What a performance by Seth Rollins.
Yep.
He's the first
Shield member to be a Triple Crown champion.
I think Seth Rollins and John Cena had match of the night at SummerSlam. That's my pick, at least, as far as match of the night goes. And then the ending of the match, we saw Jon Stewart, the host of SummerSlam, come out, do a very bad, you know, confused, who am I going to attack? And then randomly attacking John Cena, allowing Seth Rollins to pedigree Cena on the chair to become a double champion. What are your thoughts, Mike, on Jon Stewart costing John Cena the U.S. title?
As much as I love how that ending went, because it was Jon Stewart turning on John Cena and doing the ultimate face turn, and allowing, you know, preventing Cena from being a 16-time champion. I feel like it would have done Rollins better to have Rollins just win it clean. It would have done a lot more for him. Instead, it's just kind of the same old. But he beat Cena, so in a big match. But
because this is now the second match, second big match on the card. The two biggest matches on the card had really screwy endings.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some people that say, oh, well, if you want nothing but clean finishes, just stick with NXT. Well, we are. And it can't be just clean finishes all the time. There has to be some form of controversy to keep the story going.
But
there is. But that's why Monday Night Raw exists. So we can have the culmination of the rivalry at a big pay-per-view to have a definitive winner.
Also, don't do it to the two biggest the two most promoted matches on your card. It's dumb. Why? Like, because you don't do that to your big high profile matches. It just cheapens both of them. The two matches that were kind of the selling point.
Yeah, the entire reason why you wanted to buy SummerSlam or watch SummerSlam on the network was Cena Rollins and Taker Lesnar. And I love that right now on Monday Night Raw, there's a wave going around the Barclays Center during a Divas match.
Nah.
Universal sign of this is boring and we're going to take over this crowd.
You know, the problem I have with that, like, it sucks for, like, the PCB members, because they're actually talented. They're being just bogged down with it. No, you know what annoys? No, you know, I don't like the fact that these guys are doing the wave, because everybody wanted the Divas division to get better. They infused more talent into the division. Better talent, and they're not the only crowd to
Divas
do it.
Match, by the way, got 17 and a half minutes last night.
Yeah.
They had a 17 and a half minute match. That in this day and age of WWE is unheard of. That never happens now. And we had a 17 minute match with the Divas. After everyone was saying, we want longer Divas matches, you got it.
Now you're pulling, and Minnesota chanting for Brock Lesnar during a Divas match on Raw last week.
That's almost as infuriating as when AJ Lee came out and people were chanting CM Punk.
CM Punk.
Make it about the ladies that are actually competing and busting their asses trying to put on a good show for you.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to hijack the crowd because, oh, ladies wrestling's boring.
It's not boring.
It isn't boring if you have the right people.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into that in a second of why if you want to say ladies wrestling is boring, we'll get into that in a second.
We'll get into that later. Let's go through SummerSlam. What was the next match in line?
Next one off the top of my head that was most memorable to me was Stephen Amell and Neville versus Stardust and Kane Barrett.
Sorry, Mr. T, you've been dethroned. Stephen Amell now, the best celebrity wrestling involvement.
It was fantastic to watch. And you know what? I give credit to Stephen Amell for taking some bumps, doing a high-risk maneuver. He jumped from the top rope onto the ground to get Stardust and Barrett. And you know what? I give him credit for having the balls to do that because I don't think I would have been able to do that. In my first match? Are you kidding me? No way.
Yeah, no. Someone told me he does all the stunts and fight choreography in Arrow.
Well, we knew going into this that he was pretty athletic. Just the way that he stormed the ring a couple of weeks ago on Raw. It was pretty awesome to watch. And again, Stephen Amell, Green Arrow, a lot of respect.
Teaming with the guy who does the Red Arrow. That's pretty much how they advertise Neville now. He's the guy that does the Red Arrow, guys.
Then the man that Gravity forgot, turned him into a superhero almost.
Yeah,
and
it fits.
Wow, did Neville have a great in-ring showing last night. He just...
He's
everywhere. He's like Sonic the Hedgehog going in the ring. He's like, you don't see where he's going. You don't know where he's going to come from. And he just keeps you entertained and watching. Neville is probably easily one of my top three favorite performers going right now.
It's up there.
Next match was the Triple Threat Intercontinental title. I really didn't care about this, but Ryback retained.
What?
Oh, and they just saw Monday Night Raw. 8-man tag team match. Randy Orton, Cesaro, Ziggler, and Ryback versus Sheamus, Owens, Rusev, and The Big Show.
So none of those feuds are dead yet. They'll probably go into like Night of Champions.
Probably. Night of Champions is a SummerSlam rematch pay-per-view, just like how Backlash used to be, and now Extreme Rules is WrestleMania rematch pay-per-view. So
that's where Cesaro gets his win back against Owens.
Yeah, a lot of people were judging on social media during a Cesaro Owens match because a lot of people just didn't know who they wanted to win.
Yeah, that was a tough one to root for.
Tough one, but I think the booking wise, you cannot let Owens lose two big matches in a row on two big pay-per-views. You just can't.
Yeah. He needed that win.
He needed the
Cesaro win. Cesaro, I was like, well, when does Cesaro need to start getting wins too?
Yeah, but I think this will be the time where he gets...
Yeah. So we skipped the Intercontinental title match because really no one cares. Now, what was the next one?
There really weren't that many more memorable matches there, to be honest with you.
The tag title match, because New Day was awesome.
The tag title match, New Day gets the win in classic New Day cheap heel fashion.
Ziggler versus Rusev, I just... bad finish. Why are they doing this to Ziggler? I'm done with this feud already. I know Ziggler's been out for a while filming a movie, but I'm done with this feud.
Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose defeated Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper.
A fantastic match.
Great match.
Love it.
And that's pretty much it. I think we pretty much covered.
There's nothing else really.
And Sheamus defeated Randy Orton, which if that was the opening match of the pay-per-view, and we thought, oh my God, Sheamus is going to cash in and he's going to get booed out of New York.
But then he won.
But then he won, and we're like, okay, good chance he won't cash in. But if Orton won, Orton defeated Sheamus, that's just going to.
Everyone was going to get worried.
I was getting very worried.
Eventually, Sheamus is going to cash in on Rollins.
So
that's going to be the impetus to turn Rollins' face.
So now that we recapped SummerSlam, we have about 15 minutes left here. Mike, I am very jealous of you. How is NXT?
Best show of the weekend so far. The weekend, I'll say that for sure. I'll give a whole event recap. I went with our buddy Pat, who we used to give him the nickname P-Titty. That was his
from
moniker.
The old college radio
from
days.
The old college radio days. It was a fun time. We went there. We were standing outside. The crowd was already amped up and chanting stuff. there was like Full Sail sucks chants. Those who were wondering why, the Full Sail sucks chants happened because Full Sail was booing every mention of the fact that this special was in Brooklyn. So there were the Full Sail sucks chants going on. They were doing just random wrestling chants here and there. There were two guys dressed up as IRS there. So an IRS and pay your taxes chant happened. Someone had a D'Lo Brown sign they held up, and a D'Lo Brown chant happened. I ran into our buddies from Pro Wrestling Magic, Johnny Malanga, and our buddies there, including Johnny Malanga.
You ran into them?
Yeah.
Nice.
So ran into them, said hi. You know, it was fun. And then went into our seats. We were up in the 206 section. It's up high. And, dude.
Oh, by the way, White S Brand in the chat room posted a GIF of Taker going, yeah! I just loaded the chat room now. I just saw that.
So, they did some tapings first. Oh, here comes Stardust. But they did some tapings first for the next week's NXT. So they taped, first match was an eight-man tag. It was Scott Dawson, Dash Wilder, Chad Gable, and Jason Jordan versus Zack Ryder, Mojo Rawley, Enzo Amore, and Big Cass. Biggest pop of the night was Enzo and Cass. Local, they're two local guys, and they're just really over with the NXT crowds. So that was a fun match. I won't spoil results, but if you have the internet, you'll be able to find it. I believe the next one was Ava Marie.
I heard she got the loudest boos of the entire show.
Oh.
Of the entire night.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, yeah, no.
She got booed mercilessly. Mercilessly. It was... and then Carmella, who was pretty much the face in this. And Stardust, I guess, is supposed to tag with Barrett and is attacking him now in Raw. So, I guess blaming him for losing the match. Anyway. So, I'm trying to pull up, like, what else happened here. Well, the names of the match in order. So, that happened. She got... Dude. Like, the boos were venomous. Like, I've never seen anybody booed louder than she was.
I feel kind of bad, though.
I don't feel bad whatsoever. Not one iota. Because you know what? She's not in it for the love of wrestling. She's in it for an opportunity to be famous. I can't get behind that. And now, like, the way they're portraying it on Total Divas is, oh, hey, she wants to get better, so she's going to train with... oh, fuck, who's she training with?
Should we be up on this because we don't watch Total Divas?
I only know about this because, whatever. Brian Kendrick. So she's training with Brian Kendrick. They're saying that it was her saying she wanted to get better. It wasn't. She was so bad that they're like, get better in ring, or we can't really justify keeping you that much longer. That's what it was. But they're trying to make it like, oh, no, she wants to get better and be the best. No, she's terrible. They told her that. They told her to get better or you're done. She defeated... She defeated Carmella to massive amounts of boos. Bull Dempsey and faced Elias Sampson. Bull Dempsey got a decent local pop. And then the main event was Emma versus Becky Lynch versus Charlotte versus Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke got the second biggest heat of the night. Because she is just... She's another one who's terrible. Not good at all. Granted, she's newer than Ava Marie... She's still awful, and she's, in every aspect, terrible on the microphone, terrible on everything. So, terrible in ring, terrible, just terrible person. So, after that, you know, they're like, oh, we're starting soon. Triple H comes out before the event started to kind of give a, you know, talk to the crowd. And then he's like, all right, guys, I need you to do me a favor. He goes, I'm going to have every light turned off except for one spotlight. Goes, I don't want any lights in the back. I want it to be completely dark around me for this thing I'm going to do. Then he goes, I need you guys to be quiet. And then friend's like, boo, because they don't want to be quiet. He goes, I really want to do this, guys. So he's like, he said something to the effect that, and then he reminded everyone, you're listening, I know, I'm not saying guys are slow, I'm saying maybe some drinks have happened. So don't say anything. And then the fans are chanting, you can't trust us. So that, which was fantastic. So he, you know, like he does it. I mean, people had their phone lights on. There were like people saying shit in the background, just trying to get their shit in, which was kind of a little, he wanted complete silence and nothing on to kind of, he wanted all black around the spotlight, but he didn't get that because drunk people from Brooklyn. So, he does that, does his little intro thing. And then Jushin Liger and Tyler Breeze kicks off the event. Jushin Liger is 50 years old, I want to preface this by saying. And he can still go. That was a fun match to open with. And a surprise, too. Because I thought Jushin Liger wasn't winning that match. But Tyler Breeze put him over.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful.
So great. Like, a great match, great moment.
I marked that when Samoa Joe came out.
Oh, I'm getting to that.
I know.
The next one was the Vaudevillains versus Blake and Murphy. Alexa Bliss is so hot, by the way. She's just... But they brought out Blue Pants to be the equalizer, which got a huge reaction from the crowd. Their winning got a pretty big reaction from the crowd. Like, the Vaudevillains, I'm so glad they're tag champs. They're such a good team. Apollo Crews had a great, fantastic showing against Ty Dillinger. Ty Dillinger, another guy who's underrated wrestler, has a gimmick that's over. Fun match. Samoa Joe defeated Baron Corbin, which was fun to watch. Because perfect way to have him beat Baron Corbin... by making him pass out with a chokehold. And numerous Joe is going to kill you chants. And just pro Samoa. And when he won, the crowd was all for it.
Not to interrupt you real quick, but if you look at Bo Dallas's Wikipedia page, it's updated saying that he died tonight by being suplexed to death by Brock Lesnar. Very funny, by the way.
Match of the night, though.
Thank you to Jeremy for sending me that via Facebook. That's very funny.
Match of the night, though, was definitely Bayley versus Sasha.
It's my match of the weekend.
Sasha's entrance was on point. It was like I like the way the entrance did, and I'm trying to find the suplex to death thing.
They must have probably changed it back, but I have a screen cap of it. Very funny, but
so great match, great moment. By the way, suck it, Full Sail. I got to watch in person. None of you got to. So the people in that Wrestling Central group, remember that group, Hammy?
Yes.
That Florida-based group were probably part of the crowd booing that, and that's part of the reason why I'll gladly shit all over the Full Sail crowd because those people are involved in it. You didn't get to see Bayley win the title. So.
What, bro?
Come at me, bro. Let's see. So, fantastic match.
And like, the main event.
Really good.
Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor.
Kevin Owens took brutal bumps. Brutal bumps. I'm like, how is he going to wrestle a good match tomorrow? Him and Cesaro put on a good match the next day. But yeah, like, the fans were fantastic. The matches were great in NXT. Like, the only bad match was Ava Marie versus Carmella. The only bad match of the night. The only match that people hated was that match, as they show a recap of...
Oh, by the way, they're recapping the Dudleys returning.
When this happened, I still cannot...
Are they going to have a backstage interview?
We saw the return. Maybe. After a decade of one of the greatest tag teams in WWE history, Bubba Ray, Devon, the Dudley Boys.
This wasn't an ovation. This was an explosion here in Brooklyn.
And Byron, they were up to their old tricks.
Oh, we haven't heard this in years.
We did tonight, though.
That entire audience marked out from Dudley's.
We marked out.
I definitely marked out to this.
Take a trip 3D to Dudleyville.
Bubba Ray and Devon are back, and they're back this coming Thursday night.
Oh, snap.
Turn to SmackDown. The Dudley Boys.
That's an old picture.
Dudleyville to SmackDown.
Reason to watch SmackDown this week.
Yeah.
So very good reason to watch SmackDown. Return of the Dudleys. Probably in tag team competition.
Are they bringing out Jon Stewart? And he can be like, I did it for Ric Flair. They are. Okay. I did it for the people. So, yeah, it was a fun night. I also got to finally meet Nerd Mantra of the Ring Geeks, Taylor from the Ring Geeks.
Oh, nice.
It was a brief one because she lost her friends at that point. But it was cool to actually get to finally see this person, like, face-to-face. Like, someone who we always talk wrestling on Twitter. So, that was cool to see.
Did you just happen to bump into him, or did...
I was just like, hey, let's meet up and say hi. Which we did. Really, someone's got a Y Jon Stewart Y shirt. Why? Because he likes good wrestling. That's why. Idiot. So,
my match of the weekend has to go to Bayley and Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
That match was the weekend. And I really hate to say this, but once again, NXT was better than the main roster. Yep. As far as overall shows go.
I kind of want to hear heel Jon Stewart.
All right, we'll close the show with Jon Stewart.
Last night, I did upset some people. That's true. Oh, I know. Some of those people are here tonight. Of course, some people were happy.
Ah, the New York crowd never disappoints.
Is there a little kid in the front row flipping off Jon Stewart, like in a Cena shirt?
But to those individuals last night who had to comfort their children, children who wanted to know who the little old mean man was, and why would he do that? I will tell you why.
That's good if we go over the hour.
It was not in any way to help Seth Rollins retain the world championship.
Is he going to do
well
the I want to prevent it from tying Ric Flair?
Yeah.
Is he really going
to
do this?
It was not to help the authority because it's what's best for business. It was because in my heart I could not let John Cena tie the great Ric Flair.
Wow, he really said it.
Yes. For 16 championships, because in my mind, the champ is Flair.
Yes. Jon Stewart just won the IWC.
Wasn't going to let it happen.
Woo! Oh, shit.
Uh-oh. Speak of the devil. The Nation Boy.
How much you want to bet Flair comes out and beats up Jon Stewart?
There he is! That two-time Hall of Famer! Still styling and profiling!
Yeah, baby!
This is...
What a night this has been!
The reaction you got when he said why he did it.
There is only one Nature Boy.
Jon Stewart trying to ad-lib while Flair stumbles into the raid. Oh, now Flair's styling and profiling.
Careful. He'll drop an elbow on his jacket in a heartbeat.
Woo! I love that about you. The great one!
That is the great one.
Thank you. Jon.
I really appreciate what you were thinking last night. But to be honest with you, I was pulling for John Cena.
Whoa. Oh.
And the crowd boos Flair.
John Cena's like, what?
Hear me out. Sooner or later, the record will be broken, and I prefer it be by someone that I respect.
The fans are like, no.
Hey. You don't gotta like it, you gotta learn to love it, because it's coming from the best thing today, baby. Remember that. Oh, yeah. Don't forget, God's in the house tonight. Woo-hoo! Man. Yeah, I respect John Cena.
Dude, I should have run it by. I didn't know. I was, my heart, I couldn't let him do it. And against Rollins, it just didn't feel right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I thought I was protecting him.
Well, you were. And by the way, I like you recognizing the fact that I am the greatest of all time.
Greatest.
Woo! But do you realize
John
what you
timing.
Have done? I mean, you have messed up everything.
No, I was saving the streak. I was saving the 16 titles, the world titles. I was saving it.
But there's more to that. You have messed up everything.
Uh-oh. As Jim Ross would say, business is about to pick up here.
Now John Cena's going to go into his usual crap.
Oh, I may have missed this, but was the crowd chanting last night to Cena going, "See, nah, sucks,"
yep,
to the New Day? All right. It's still my favorite thing that the crowds do. All right, as soon as the segment's done, we'll close the show tonight. But want to thank our sponsorships at Pro Wrestling Magic, WrestlingIsMagic.com, and our syndicate partners at More Like Radio.
At Hipster Punch on Twitter.
At Brain Stew Hammy on Twitter. Didn't really get a chance to go to commercial this week.
See, that sucks.
Without a doubt, John Cena was robbed by John Stewart.
Well, we knew he wasn't going to win because he just released that 15 times shirt.
Yeah.
No, notwithstanding the altruistic reasons for interfering, Cena was robbed.
Oh, stop it, you Cena apologist.
Thank you for the energetic serenade, but now it's time to handle business. You and me, we gotta talk.
Look at Stewart trying to play off as a sympathetic heel.
What do you wanna talk about?
They're doing it again! Yes! See? Oh, this crowd rules!
No. Let him get it out. You did what you did last night because you thought it was the right thing to do. And hell, there's a lot of people in this building tonight that agree with you. That's fine.
16-time champ.
That's fine.
16-time.
You did not want me to tie the record, and I am at peace with that. But because of what you did, do you realize that Seth Rollins is the WWE champion? Yeah. Hey, what? And he is now the United States champion.
At some point,
yeah. I didn't think it through.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
The United States champion, the United States championship, the same championship that I pried from the hands of Rusev, and every single week on Monday Night Raw, I use as an opportunity, a symbol of excellence, so that these people, the WWE Universe, get a chance to see the superstars that they feel deserve a chance in a main event match with the best in the game. And you're a fan, you are a part of the WWE Universe, so you know what I'm talking about. Names like Ambrose, names like Stardust, names like Neville, names like Kevin Owens, names like Cesaro, names like Sami Zayn.
Not gonna lie, his open, his U.S. Championship open challenge is one of the greatest things to go for Monday Night Raw for a long time.
Let me just say this. You seem upset.
That's an understatement.
If I do this, can he still see me? It doesn't really work.
Hey,
does it?
Hey.
No, it's just I'm saying.
No, you're just saying nothing.
I didn't think that through.
Listen, this is not a comedy show. All right?
I just,
you got your punchlines. I got punchlines too. I'll have you stand on a line and punch you. How's that?
Here's what I say to you tonight. With respect, it was a beautiful match last night between you and Rollins. And you have been a fighting United States champion. And I respect that. I respect that you gave Owens a chance and Cesaro and Neville. And I respect all that. But I have been a fan for so many years. And as good as you are, I could not see you tying his record against Seth Rollins. I couldn't see it happening. And I understand and I apologize for not seeing it through. But I just in my
heart. Now what do we have?
We have
the world championship and the United States championship in the hands of the Authority. The one group that doesn't listen to the WWE Universe. They just do what is best for business, damn it.
What a great opportunity for you to win it back and to win back the beautiful people of Brooklyn with your fighting skills. You can win it back. This is your moment. This is your moment.
I don't think the people in Brooklyn like want him to win it back.
This
no.
is your moment.
I can win it back.
We can
with
declare
a, with a moment, kind of like the moment you had last night.
It was my
when
moment
you, when you just
tonight
ran
is,
out.
This is your moment.
And did what you felt you had to do.
I had to do it.
I understand that.
Flair's like
that.
Now
so
I know I retired.
Yeah.
You're gonna understand this because right now
yes.
I'm just gonna do what I gotta do.
John Stewart.
John Cena.
Let him down, John.
With an elbow to John Stewart. Down goes Stewart.
Stewart asked for it.
All right, that was kind of heelish of Cena to do.
Yeah. John bit. Cena just gave John Stewart the AA.
Hey, John Stewart put himself in this situation.
Flair's just like, all right, whatever. Time to go drink.
By the way, before we go, I do want to point out one thing about NXT. The fans started doing the OA chant for Sami Zayn during Owens' Balor. I think the best part when they were doing that, Kevin Owens kind of like mimicked how Sami Zayn hurt his shoulder doing this warm, like, ah! And the fans went from doing OA to laughing in hysterics. Great old school heel.
All right. Any final thoughts for this past weekend? Because we had an amazing weekend of wrestling. And also, not to mention that WWE sold out Barclays Center 3 nights in a row. Yeah. It's almost impossible for anyone to do that.
Right now, props to Jon Stewart for taking that bump.
Yeah, props to Jon Stewart for taking the bump. And I want to switch real quick to Ring of Honor. They sold. They had a huge showing at their event in, I
Field
think,
of Honor, yeah.
Coney Island, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
Around there. Great weekend of pro wrestling. People went out to support that. People went out to support NXT and SummerSlam, the main roster. So, really, nothing but amazing things going on this weekend in the world of wrestling. So, again, great weekend of wrestling.
Yeah.
We thoroughly enjoyed watching all this. And we're going to enjoy the last hour of Monday Night Raw because supposedly, again, rumor, Sting is there tonight. And we might see Sting come out to the ring. We don't know yet. So, I'm hoping that we see that. Any last words, Mike?
Damn.
Okay, then. On that note, we're going to head out. Yeah. Motherfuckers better know. I feel like it's appropriate because they're all in Brooklyn.
So we should have played the Crime Time theme.
Lock your windows, eh. Close your
doors. Well, how do we not play the Crime Time theme? It says Brooklyn in it.
I just figured we would play Notorious B.I.G., the greatest rapper to come out of New York City. Anyway.
Whoa. Really?
Maybe with Nas, too, but that's besides the point. All right. He is Hipster Punchy on Twitter. I am Brain Stew Hammy on Twitter. This is Brain Stew Wrestling on BrainStewRadio.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. Podcast will be up very shortly. Have a good night.
You ain't got to explain shit. I've been robbing motherfuckers since the slave ships with the same clip and the same 4-5.